The Team Never Quit podcast is sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union, and they don't just serve the Navy, they serve the Army, Marine Corps, Air Force, Coast Guard, and even Space Force. No matter where you're at in your military career, they offer the products and resources to help you navigate your finances. Learn more at NavyFederal.org.
Team Never Quit Radio. All right, everybody, welcome back to the TNQ Podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Luttrell. Every week, it's my job to fire you up, to ignite the legend inside of you, and to push you to your greatness. Join me every week as I take you into my briefing room with some of the most hard-charging people on the planet. They're going to show you how to embrace the suck of life, teach you the values of working your ass off, and charge through whatever life throws at you. This is the Team Never Quit Podcast. So buckle up, Buttercup.
Welcome back to another episode of the Team Never Quit podcast. Easter's coming up. Do you guys have any big plans for Easter?
The ranch. Easter egg hunt. I'm Cajun, so we do egg pockin. It's a thing. It's a contest. And my grandparents are coming in.
Explain.
Egg pockin?
Yeah, egg pockin.
So you take, you dye your Easter eggs. And after you dye them, you have a basket. Like, say you would have a basket, I would have a basket. And we're competing against each other. So you take an egg, I have an egg, and you do the small part of the egg, and you hit it against each other. So that's pocking it. And whoever has the egg that cracks loses. And this is a thing in Louisiana. It's like a statewide thing, and people bet money on it, like real money. It's a thing.
I've never
heard of
it. This is crazy.
If you're from Louisiana, and actually Southern Living did a write-up on it one time. And I was like, oh, they're talking about egg pocket. Because nobody knows it unless you're from, like, middle of nowhere Louisiana. So it's a thing. Our family does an egg pocket contest. You can't slam it. It's like you just tap it. So you can't be like, oh, I'm going to get you and crack it. It's like a little tap. Yeah.
Interesting.
We didn't egg pocking in Long Island, New York.
No. Right. Well, we didn't have that. We did pencil break in high school. I remember in junior high and elementary school, but no.
That's the closest thing to pocking you've ever done.
What are y'all doing for Easter?
Probably just regular church brunch. No egg pocking.
No egg pocking.
As the kids get older, like we go out onto the ranch, the safer they are, the more they can venture out. Like I'll make the scavenger hunt for the eggs. One of them be out in the middle of the lake on a little float. They got to go figure out how to get it, right? Oh. And there's a reward out there. So it becomes like a treasure hunt instead of the normal found it around the house.
Yeah. Marcus loves treasure hunts.
Man, yeah.
That's cool.
Like around here, he has buried so many things that he draws maps to, and one day he wants the kids to find.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
We do it all over the world. Like, we travel around and drop waypoints. Like when we travel, we'll take a coin, plant it somewhere, and then get the waypoint. So
geocaching?
No, but it's just for our family.
It's for our family. So when the kids get older, it gives them an incentive to travel. I was like, you're going to travel and you're going to go see what your mother
and
I saw.
We have challenge coins buried in Bangkok,
Ireland, Thailand,
Budapest.
It's everywhere.
Oh, that's so cool. And this is just for the kids.
It's just for the kids.
We can't go do
that. I mean, we have geocached, but this is not part of, it's our own.
This is for them to learn how to appreciate what we got to do.
And we have saved the GPS coordinates of where the coins are. And he has one on top of the Luttrell Castle in Ireland.
Yeah, we have a castle.
Not our castle, but it's called the they say Luttrell over there.
I don't care how they say it. I'm from the South. Say it my way. It's okay.
But it's spelled the same. And we went there, and he snuck up somehow. We were having dinner.
Somehow.
And he gets up on the roof of this castle and hides a coin.
We had so much fun. She surprised us on one of our anniversaries. Mm-hmm. That's the first time I'd ever been there. It was in Ireland, in the town.
Yeah,
Luttrelltown. And
he had no idea we were
going. I had no idea. We rolled up on that sucker, man. The dude standing out. Red carpet, mm-hmm. Glass champagne.
Wow.
It was cool because our honeymoon was a disaster. We could talk about that's the best story ever.
So we take an anniversary trip every year, and he, we get up to the castle, and this like fancy Irish butler guy is standing there. We just had dinner there, and the guy says, "Welcome, Mr. Luttrell," and and Marcus said, "So this is my castle," and yeah. he was like, "For the night, it is." And he goes, "Well, back in the day, we used to take things back by force. I'm here. I'm ready." And the guy's like, "You can have it."
We had the best time. We've been back ever since. Yeah, we still cook. Oh, yeah, they're great people.
He was that whole time, so much fight fun for the castle.
So we do a thing on the show every single week where we ask a Patreon question. It's where our Patreon members can ask a question to you guys. The question of the day: if the internet permanently crashed, would you cry or be happy?
At this point, I would be happy.
I'd be ecstatic.
I'd be happy.
I think I agree.
I guess. I mean, it's not a... Yeah. It wouldn't change anything in how I do business.
Marcus never carries his phone.
I don't ever carry my phone. It's just like like the smaller laptop, right?
Can I be you? Can I be the other Marcus for the day? Yeah.
He literally doesn't... Like, he stopped putting his email on a phone. He does not check his email at all.
I don't have an email, really.
I had to put his email address on my phone in case something important comes through, because he does not...
I mean, she's got something that's like 7,000 emails. I was like, well, obviously, that wasn't important enough to...
I'm envious. Because
if I need to be handling something, I trust me, I'll be there. Mm-hmm. And they'll keep text messages from...
I don't delete anything.
Years ago. I mean, like, you can really literally go back and look up something that I did. She can look it up. Something I did to piss her off.
Oh, yeah. Screenshot.
I'm like, why would you keep that? Because I learn, right? I've learned every time I screw up, so I don't do that. It's just a reminder. Mm-hmm. Like, she doesn't forget anything anyways.
Or I can just show you.
She shows it to me. Now it's like a, hey, you remember this thing you did back in February of this year? I'm like, No, I kind of live for the day, that. Dude. So I thought, and it's just, that cracks me up.
Yeah, you can't get away with as much with the internet. It's just, it's all for tape, you know?
Yeah.
There's no cutting it out.
Well, no, thanks. It's out there.
It's a great tool.
Yeah, it's a great tool. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's information at your fingertips.
Yeah, thank goodness we didn't have phones and internet. Really have internet in college. It would have been terrible.
I didn't get my first phone until after I had Hunter. So I was a single mom with no cell phone. Nowadays, like, everybody has a phone.
I got my first phone September 12th of 2001, the day after 9/11.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I used to use your car phone all the time.
Oh, I did have a car.
In like 98.
Installed in my phone.
Did you have a bag phone? Like, did you have the bag phone with the antenna when you put it on the roof? To get it off, you'd have to scrape the paint off remember that thing? That magnet was so freaking hardcore.
I had the mount in my car. So
oh, that
you
was
actually
fancy.
Like you had a cord and took it up and
fancy.
Hung it
up. Yeah,
fancy. That was that fancy one.
Fancy red Firebird her senior year.
Oh, high school.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I thought that was cool.
And a car phone. Mm-hmm.
Using her phone and driving her car.
Yeah.
With a cord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
I bet if you started putting those back in the cars, it'd be a thing again because of how that was like, man,
it would just be cool.
Yeah. You got a car in his phone, or phone in his car.
That's like people buying record players now. Like record players are a
thing. VCR, yeah.
Our daughter uses a Polaroid now. It's really cool.
We have one here, and before you leave, we have to take a picture.
Oh, for
sure.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great.
Bring pagers back. I'll take a pager.
Oh my gosh, I used to have a pager.
Those were cool.
911.
Yeah.
It's emergency.
Yeah.
Or if you were mad at someone, you'd do like the hell, like whatever the numbers are spelled into it.
Something three. Yeah.
Yeah. 3-1-1.
Right?
I don't remember, but
yeah.
I actually did that to people. Hell.
I think you put an O on it, you could say hello too.
Hello. Yeah.
You can.
Right, you can, right? You can be polite. You can be like,
you can be nice.
Hello.
You can be nice.
Oh my gosh. Well, hey guys, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the show on YouTube. We're dropping videos every single week, which is awesome. And if you're not already, follow us on social media. You can head over to teamneverquit.com/social. You can get access to all of our social links. Thank you so much for our Patreons, for all you guys do to support the show. We've got a great guest in store. Melanie, would you like to introduce Amber and Marcus?
Yes. So, y'all, welcome.
Thank you.
Marcus and Amber. Marcus was in the teams, and the two Marcuses. And him and Amber have been together for how long have y'all?
Almost 24 years.
Oh, my gosh.
What did he say? 10? He's like, about 4 or 5.
He feels more like 80.
That's crazy. And they are blowing up on socials and everything. Everybody's talking about them because they have this organization for vets, and they are literally healing guys every single day, and it's just their work is amazing. So we can't wait to get into your story and learn about why you're doing this, what drove you to start this organization, and hear your story.
Thank you. Yeah, and we really cannot take credit for any of the work that we're doing, because it seems like it's just happening. It seems like it's meant to be, and we're just kind of vessels for helping it, you know, come to life. But it's been really surreal, and it's been an honor and a privilege to pay this forward.
That's Charlie.
That is Charlie. Yeah. That wasn't you?
Yeah.
Excuse me. Sorry, guys.
Charlie has a trachea problem.
That's right. We have Charlie.
My server stuck. my 13-pound multi-poo.
Can we start back from, like, how y'all met and just hear your story from, like Marcus says, let's treat this like Joe Dirt and go back to day one.
They brought me on the Joe Rogan podcast, and I got the first one. That's the second one or third one. I don't do those very much. I was like, I wonder how this is going to go. And I was like, well, let's just do it the Joe Dirt way. Start from the beginning, and then we'll kind of roll from through to how we got here. Yeah. And but in here, no gotcha questions or anything. We're here to talk about what you guys are doing, how you got together, back it all up. Y'all been together for a long time, and we're brothers in the team. So everyone, let's hear those stories.
Yeah, no, this is good. I mean, if I had a dollar for everyone who thought I was you at a fundraiser, I told you, I would just let them talk. They would, you know, I could see them. They would like make their way over and like, oh, Marcus, you know, and I'd say, oh, here we go. You know, your book and just everything you've done. And I would just let them talk and like, you know, you in the movie. And I wanted to say like, you know, that was an actor, right? Like I actually wasn't in the movie, and I would let them go. And then I'd have to burst their bubble and say, you know, I'm the other Marcus. I'm Marcus Capone. Unfortunately, you're like the millionth person that thought I was Latrell. Anyway, so.
The beard's covered hide us real well. I just recently shaved mine.
It is ironic that you guys are named the same and are similar in size and appearance. So it's easy to get you confused.
Yeah, he's like 6'4". I'm like 6'4" and a quarter.
Bro, I've had people have entire conversations with me thinking I'm Chris Kyle.
Recently. Like, I'm like, you realize. Hauling
me down, and I wouldn't even turn around because there's been a couple times when I was walking in, and they like, hey, I just want to tell you, I appreciate everything. I was like, man, you know, he that dude was dead.
Yep.
But, you know, after a while, I wouldn't tell him because I wanted to hear those, because I would relay them to Taya.
Mm-hmm.
Aww, so Taya. People come up and tell me something about their father or something, how wonderful it was, I hold on to it now. Like, it's not a thing. Seals, that's what we do. Like, Mojo, we get confused with each other all the time. All of us do, actually.
Absolutely.
Everyone was on the Bin Laden raid. At least you had better been, unless Robbie's standing there.
100%.
100%. Because we take the good and the bad ones. We're known for our when we get our butts kicked, but then we're also known for when we do really well. And that's what we call the teams. That's
people why there's not very many of us. They mistake me for Tom Brady. I don't know why.
Tom, that guy.
Because you're such a goat.
I mean, I know, he just changed his name, man.
I know.
Got a perfect smile. Breath's always probably smells good. You know, he's always happy. Clothes always fit. You know, I'm talking about like Tom Brady.
Come on,
you just know, like, there's somebody down here. It's not fair.
Yeah, that's him.
All right.
Well, it's true.
And he's the nicest guy.
He is very. We met him.
Yeah, he's the nicest guy. I mean, it's what a goat. Ring goat.
Marcus was a quarterback, which is actually how we met.
Barely. I did. I played for Amber's dad.
Oh, yeah. How cool.
Yeah, he recruited me from New York.
Oh, my gosh.
So how was that meetup? Was he digging? Is that why you weren't playing anymore?
Here's what's
funny. Once you started dating her, you weren't a quarterback?
No, this is great. So they came out to recruit me in New York, and I remember like I just looked at some of the media guides, and I started reading about Coach Watson's family, and then I saw that he had a daughter that was, you know, looked like around our age. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. He's got a daughter. I wonder, you know, wonder if I'd ever meet her. Aww. She's kind of cute.
Did you see a photo of me?
I think there was a photo of you somewhere.
I saw your photo in the paper.
So did you get to actually look at the recruits, like all the information?
No. Oh, no. My dad kept me totally away from anyone on the team. And at that time, I was in high school. So I was just coming into the age when I was like 12, you know, whatever. It wasn't an issue. But as I got older, it was like, nope.
How cool would it be if you're like, Dad, this one is so cute.
Pick him.
Pick him. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we need him.
No, I didn't.
They think differently. We do that.
I didn't actually know anything about him. I had been hearing about him because he was from New York and he was supposed to be so good and a really big deal. My dad was super excited to get him. And
yeah, and it turned out not to be that good. And no. I dated his daughter. I mean,
no, I saw his picture in the paper. I'll leave it at that. I saw his picture in the paper and I thought like, oh, he's really cute. And so my dad ended up taking another job and we ended up being at the same place. We met and I instantly was like, oh yeah, he's my type. I thought we would probably date for a couple of weeks. It was kind of a goal of, date. You know, between my girlfriends, I'm like, I'm dating him for a couple of weeks. Uh-huh. And 24 years later.
Yeah. As a high school senior too.
Oh, yeah. We actually met the summer
before my senior year.
Going into your senior year.
Yeah. Yeah, so Marcus decided, I ended up changing all of my college plans.
Where'd y'all meet at?
Southern Illinois University.
Like, first meetup.
That's the first day you saw him in
person.
Well, no,
yeah, we met at a bowling alley. One of my friends needed a hot extract from a situation, and I went to get her, and he was there. And then I saw you a couple other times.
It was packed. It was packed, and I had buddies on the team that were bouncers there.
And there was a nightclub inside the bowling alley.
And one of the guys come up and they go, hey, Coach Watson's daughter's here. I'm like, no way. Where is she? Right? Immediately, I was like, where is she? Like, I want to hook up with her.
You did not.
And then I see her and I'm like.
So you're a freshman in college.
I was a sophomore at that time.
A sophomore. Okay.
Yeah. And I saw her and I'm like, wow, she's actually really cute. And then she found out who I was. And she came over to me, and
I think you may have had
a few drinks. I don't know.
No. I went to get.
So you were just angry naturally.
No, I was called from someplace else to go get my best friend who had too much to drink.
And that's why you were pissed.
And I had to, you know, go get her.
Upset for her.
So these were the first words. These are the first beautiful words I heard from her. She's like, you're the freaking quarterback that, like, my dad
got
all this trouble. And, you know, my dad was supposed to get me a car.
That's not what I said.
And, oh, yeah. You were like,
no, I remember what I said. I said, oh, you're
this
the
is my story.
I was flirting with you.
You were not flirting with me.
I said, oh, you're the troublemaker.
No, you're the troublemaker. Exactly.
That's all I said.
I was just adding some color to it.
Anyway, so I changed my college plans and I stayed where Marcus was. And
you want to talk about our first night together?
No, my dad might be listening.
No, I mean,
oh, he's definitely gonna be here.
The date that we went on.
Anyway, so fast forward. Marcus decided.
Your dad's literally gonna kill
Marcus
me.
Marcus watched G.I. Jane and decided to become a SEAL.
Is that true?
Oh, we're telling everything on this show. Stand by.
You've literally said this story.
What story?
No, you. G.I. Jane came out at around the same time that a Discovery Channel special came out, and he was watching guys do pool comp.
We were actually watching G.I. Jane.
At Buds.
You can tell it. I was watching G.I. Jane with my roommate, who went into the Air Force and flew F-18s.
Anyway, he decided he wanted to go to Buds, and I was like, I don't know what that is. There was no war. There was, you know, I didn't know anything about the military, but I knew, like, we've been dating for a while now, like almost 3 years, and I just wanted to let him do his thing, and I thought I would do my thing, and then I found out I was pregnant with our son.
Aww.
Yeah. And so...
Not sure how. We only held
Coach,
hands up until that
Coach,
point.
Coach, we don't know how that happened.
Yeah. So, you know, suddenly everything was, like, totally in flux because... He had all these plans, and so did I, but not really. And so it was tough for several months. And then we ended up sticking it out.
Yeah.
And
we almost didn't, though.
We almost didn't.
We almost parted.
It was a really scary time.
Yeah. And I just thought, you know what? I actually had a conversation with two military guys that were at Southern Illinois. One was a Marine. One was in the Army. And they're like, dude, you need to take care of this. You need to take care of this boy. They're like, you need to man up and like do this. And I'm like, yeah, all right. You know what? I like these guys. I wanted to be like them. They were older. They made their bed. They washed their clothes. Not like the rest of us college kids. And so they were like mentors at the time. And I think they gave me a little bit of, you know, I had a little bit of, I was just trying to, you know, really just trying to be like them. And when they said that, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to man up. You know, I'm going to get married. I'm going to take care of this son, and we're going to be fine. So that's kind of what went on in my head and conversations I had. So.
Yeah. So, Caden, our son was born in May. You enlisted in June. And then I don't know how that all went down, but anyway, it was like bam, bam, bam.
Graduated college.
Graduated.
Had Caden.
Yeah.
Got married. Enlisted.
Went to boot camp.
What year was that?
2000.
Right? Yeah. 2000.
No. Yeah, 2000.
What bus class were you?
236.
Oh, so
yeah, that's right, Formosa.
Were you testing me just then?
No.
You tried to stump me,
didn't
you?
No, I'm just asking. I'm trying to figure.
You know his team got wife, right?
I was like, you know what bus class you're in?
I'm not testing you.
That was awesome. Did you test me?
I'm talking 2001. Well, I've actually had people before when I was like in the middle of a conversation and somebody from like the side, you know, like total blue falcon.
Yeah, yeah.
What bus class were you in? And I'm like, wait, huh? You know, and it took me like 3 seconds to remember because, you know, I can't remember anything.
Oh my gosh, no. I only asked that because I know Morgan went in around the same time.
He did.
That
he was there.
That would make sense.
No, he was there.
Okay.
Because so, I was the last class of 99.
Yeah.
It's funny sometimes as I was going through all that stuff, people would ask me that too. And I'd make up some obscure freaking number just to give them a...
99?
Yeah. Bravo 11, kind of, but you know, something completely...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Team Shadow.
Someone told him that.
That was at jump school. SEAL Team Shadow.
That's pretty sexy, though.
Such a good story.
How do we not have a SEAL Team named Shadow? We need to probably... Next on the list.
That is a good story, but maybe I'll save it.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. So you go into Buds. You've got a brand new wife, a baby.
Brand new baby.
Yeah, he was like one of two or three guys married at Buds. We lived in the tall white towers next door, and... I was away from my family for the first time ever.
With a baby,
yeah.
At 20.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's hard.
It's tough.
Yeah.
I had Hunter when I was 19, so I know how hard that that is for sure.
My dad is a huge part of like how resilient I've been able to be, which parlays nicely with the podcast because his motto to me growing up was never quit. Never quit, ever, anything. And so whether it was like not wanting to disappoint him or just really like digging down there, I was never going to quit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just suddenly, you know, you go from being a 20-year-old college sophomore to being a mom and a wife and your husband's in Buds. And then 9/11 happened. He graduated October 2001. I think I stupidly thought, like, when Buds is over, this is over. And then even after the attacks, I was just like, we just got to get through Buds. We had no idea.
That's no awesome. Idea.
Oh, my gosh.
No idea.
Pretty crazy.
I mean, what 20-year-old would?
That's like...
That's a great point.
It makes me think of Marcus always says, like, when you have to get through something, just draw a line in the sand and, you know, just make your short goals, get there,
right.
And then make your next goal. I mean, that's what you had to do mentally. It's what you were doing mentally, whether it was fight or flight. Like, okay, we just have to get through Buds. Everything's going to be okay. Or we just have to get to that next step and everything's going to be okay.
I remember thinking too, like, wow, Navy SEALs are really tough. Like, you really don't hear about anything happening to them. That gave me... a lot of peace. And then
you're like, what happened to my husband?
No, then the helicopter crash happened. Yeah. And I was like, oh, wait, like this is not what I thought it was. And for the first time ever as a wife, I got really, really scared about what the future, you know, what deployments could be. But he kept deploying. And, you know, the years just kept ticking by.
So you are in, you get out of Buds, 9/11 kicks off. Are you just sent into a bunch of workups or do you just immediately deploy? How does that?
Yeah, no, I was, we we had our class split into two. They had just commissioned SEAL Team 10 and Team 7 at the time. So half of us went to 10 on the East Coast and then half stayed on the West Coast. So I went to the East Coast, which was my first choice. And yeah, no, we jumped into platoon and worked up for 2 years. So, and that was, you know, that was fun. So didn't deploy right away.
No, yeah.
No.
Oh, because right when 9/11 happened, everyone thinks it kicked off. There was a gap.
Yeah.
Like we had to figure out what was going on, who did what, where to go, and how to advance on it. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just graduated.
Yeah, we all dropped in that whole.
I barely knew how to point a weapon at that time at anything.
I think I showed up to my command January 1st, 2001.
Well, because you went to 18 Delta.
Well, I took the long course.
Yeah. He went to after Buds went to 18.
I remember when they were, you know, you fill out your dream sheet, what SEAL teams you want to go to when you're in Buds. Most of all the guys got it. Nowadays, you kind of get sent to your coast, right? Well, since I was in 18 Delta, I didn't have a rate. I was undesignated. I didn't even have rank. I mean,
I didn't even have a trident yet.
Nothing. As a matter of fact, they would tell me every day, like, you get kicked out of here. We're not going to send you to a boat or a submarine. There might be some dude you don't even know. Because I came in here to be a SEAL. That's it. Plain and simple. And my schools kept keeping me away. 3.5 years. The guys I graduated Buds with showed back up when I got to the team. They'd already been on deployment and come back.
That's got to be tough.
It was hard on me.
I remember that was tough for the guys.
They pulled me away and sent me to the Army, which is, in the long run, was great. Yeah. I wound up loving every bit of it.
Yeah, but at the time, I want immediate satisfaction now.
Sure. Right.
Yeah. But the guys he went to Buds with when he got back from 18 Delta, they're the ones that gave him his bird. So
yeah,
that
like,
was
hey, we,
special for him.
That was a big deal.
That was cool.
Well, yeah.
I was lucky. I got to graduate SQT.
You're the first class?
Yes.
Because my brother was the second.
Yes. We were the first class.
Because he got his. I remember I got my Trident, and 2 days later, he was graduating from SQT and got his. So he was 237, you were 236, right?
Yeah.
So he was the second class.
Yeah.
You were the first.
Yeah, I think we actually had ours before some of the guys in 235 were getting them from their team.
Or
they gave them out because they knew we were getting them.
Well, that's what happened to me.
Yeah, they literally, he's 228.
They literally pinned me because I was going to my brother's graduation. I still didn't have my bird. I was going through my Trident boards.
You're like, who are these guys? They're walking around.
So did you and Morgan not go in together?
No way, they separated us.
But, okay, at so birth? Did you, how did you end up in Bud's classes that far apart?
Okay, so I came in.
He went early.
A little bit early. He had to finish college. And then he finished, and then it wasn't that far. It was five classes. He was 237, I was 228. I mean, we had the same instructors.
You went in at 226, though.
I did. I was on a long plan. I broke my leg.
I was on a long plan in college.
Same thing. I've been on a long plan the whole time. That's why I've
been most.
Yeah. Slow is smooth. Smooth is fast. I've always been taught that. Like, don't ever, you know, enjoy every piece of this. So I think it was my teammates when they were like, hey, I was like, my brother's graduating. You know, he was the honor man. I was the anchor man, believe it or not. Like, dude can run and do everything. He does it really well. They just beat me to death. I thought that was funny. But normally you just get beat by the instructors of the phase you're in. With Mojo, because we were, we switched in Buds, too, there was that he got full benefit from every instructor every day.
For a day. It's not like.
Just a day.
A day of Buds. Just a day of Buds for 6-7 months. So when he came out, there was a 2 year, was it a year and some change? Almost 2 year separation. Because yeah. They got in a lot of trouble.
I mean, I think people hear that story and they're like, and nothing happened to them. No, they did get in a lot of trouble.
Because they actually switched.
Marcus got hurt and he had already been rolled. And so
I hadn't been rolled yet. I was still hurt. It was right before I got rolled. Otherwise, he could have done the class.
Anyway, Morgan was still in college. The reason it was such a big deal is because he was still in college.
He wasn't even in the Navy yet?
He wasn't in the Navy. And
that same face would ever be up for. Yeah.
And Morgan took Marcus's place for like a run or something.
Yeah.
And it ended up coming out like right before graduation. Are they like asking y'all if. Like,
remember on third phase at the island, like, hey, what'd y'all get away with?
Oh, yeah.
So I had been rolled out of the class. And they said, well, we had a set of twins. And we switched them.
And somebody, coughed it up. And
the instructors aren't done. They were like, oh. Mm-hmm. Well, we got some of them here right now.
And so then Marcus had a what do you call that? The board?
See the Admiral. I skipped board. Every freaking XOI, all that stuff, went straight to saw the boss.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people in there.
Yeah, he got in trouble. And then, but the thing is, when he graduated, and then he was like, oh, by the way, y'all be seeing my brother in a little bit. Morgan comes in and gets his ass beat.
Yeah.
Oh, like, I bet.
Thank you. That's how they punished me.
Yeah. So they punished Morgan. But the thing is, it shows Morgan's character for being Honor Man, because he put out so hard every day. I mean, his peers, everybody saw how bad he got his ass beat, and he still took it every day and wasn't going to quit, and he just kept coming back.
It struck you because the team guys walk in and be like, hey, man, your brother, he quit. I'm like, what? And I'd go running out there, then they'd say something else. It was just, it's always
they
a constant.
They would just fuck with him.
Yeah, but man. You know, new guy, you're not even anybody in the team until after two or three platoons, you can say something. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Is your one platoon wonder, new guy first, one platoon wonder, two pump chump, you know, the threes and fours, those guys are the mafia.
Yeah, I was the only new guy in my first platoon. That was
really
not fun.
East Coast, I couldn't even imagine. Where'd you go first?
10.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. It wasn't terrible. You know, I wasn't a turd, so I didn't get a...
That's the only thing we had going for us.
You know, yeah, thank goodness. Otherwise, that could have been real bad.
Mm-hmm. On my plaques, when it says squared away dirtbag,
yeah.
That's the best compliment I ever got. Because when we're at work, you're squared away. I mean, work harder than anybody else. That's what I always tell myself. But then when we go play, you play hard. I thought that was a thing. My chief told me that. So that's why I ran the way I ran. My chief, when he saw me for the first time, he's like, I want you living on the edge where the demons live. He's like, I'll pull you back when you had enough. And look what he did to me. I mean, look what that sucker put me through.
A good piece of advice while you are a SEAL.
Right.
When if you had the guys to pull you back.
Out, you should not walk where the demons walk.
And we had so much fun, right?
Yeah, it's hard to run wild if you have no one that's putting a choker collar on you. So.
Yeah.
Man, they could, because we hang out with them dudes that'll just kill you.
Yeah.
Make your life going. Like you can't believe. Look what they do to us just to get in that fraternity. Can you imagine what they do to us when we mess up? It's hilarious.
My gosh.
Now, because, you know, we lived through it. You know, because now we made it.
So Team 10, let's go back to that. Your new mom, and then you have another little girl.
Yeah, so in 2002, we had our daughter Maggie, and so I had two little kids. And I was just trying to navigate, you know, what is this community? What is this world? What have we gotten ourselves into? I saw right away that there were two kinds of wives. There were those that were really bitter and angry and gossipy and hateful. And there were those that really, you know, carried themselves well and supported their husbands and just leveled up. And I decided that's who I wanted to be. And so, I had great mentors. Team 10 was kind of a blur. Yeah, I don't know. It's all been a blur.
It's all been a blur.
Yeah.
It's all been a blur.
Yeah.
What do you want to hear?
I feel like that's
what I want to hear all of it.
Well, I worked up. Yeah, I worked up for 2 years, and then we went to Germany.
Mm-hmm.
That was our fun first deployment. So. I didn't do a whole lot there. We trained a lot around, you know, Europe and Africa and a few other places, and did a lot of skiing and snowboarding on the weekends. And
fun.
Yeah, it was a good time. While everybody else was going to war, though, right? So that was not a good time.
Because, isn't that funny how you looked at that?
Yeah.
Because that's a good time.
Yeah.
I'm like, people pay money to go do that. Yeah. And with us,
European vacation. Well, absolutely.
I want to go over there where it's miserable.
It's miserable. What?
Why would you want that?
Sleep
I don't
in a shack.
Know. I want to sleep on the ground.
Right. It's weird. It's a different mindset, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about your second deployment with Team 10 or no?
Yeah. You want? To, I mean, so second deployment, that happened that deployment. That was our. You know, we were in the same task unit, but we went over to Germany the first half, and you know we were supposed to. You're supposed to switch out with the sister platoons until the Gila went down. When the Gila went down, we wind up deploying like I think within that week.
So you're talking about the in Red Wing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Matter of fact,
did I see you in camp?
I think
you did. You
told me. I think I was the first person you saw.
I was gonna say, I remember
because
that
because you flew into Germany,
right?
You were obviously, you know, you were all.
Did we set that picnic? Is that me and you at that picnic table?
Yeah.
That was you?
That was me. That was me.
That's what I thought. That was wow, right?
Yep. It was really wild.
Remember, because really they just carried me into that thrift store. They had me clothes.
Well, dude, that whole week was crazy.
Was that crazy?
I mean, when it went down, I mean, it was sad because we were getting, we were deployed and we couldn't find out anything going on. And we were getting updates from our wives back in the States. You know, which was
okay.
Frustrating was that?
Right?
Which there was nothing really. I mean, I feel like those days were just pause because they were looking for you, and it was like, oh, it gives me goosebumps too.
Yeah, that was just a bad time. I mean, it was. I mean, we never even talked about it. This is the first time I think we've ever like just talked about it, right? I mean, that week,
it was like Groundhog Day. It was just
We stayed. I am not gonna lie. We stayed drunk from the second it happened until we deployed. Because we didn't know what to do. Like, yeah. We were just waiting.
So what about the picnic table? Where?
That was afterwards.
That was in Germany?
Yeah, when I got back.
When y'all saw each other?
Yeah, I believe you were with either Command Psych.
No, or, it was...
go ahead.
I believe.
Was it...
You're talking about Dell?
Yeah.
No, yeah, he was there too, but he's talking about who I was. They were Brink, because I had all this stuff happening to me. While I was in the hospital.
Yeah. Like
they would bring all these, everybody, to get in my head, talk about all that stuff.
Yeah, but you hadn't seen a team guy yet.
Not yet.
And I think I remember.
Except for Dell, because he was.
That's right. And they just said thought it would be good.
Yep.
You know, so, yeah.
They got me out. That was the first time.
Me and two other guys went up.
That's right.
To say, hey.
The reason it was so tough on us is because everyone who knew about the op died. So we couldn't get any intel that we would normally be able to get because everyone who had it was, they didn't, so we had to redeploy all the guys in. Then they had to had to figure out what happened. I'll let you know how quick we worked because everyone else was already on theater. They found me. We were right there with them. But it was tough, man.
Yeah. I didn't mean to bring that up, but I mean, that's what happened, right?
Yeah.
So like I said, we chatted for what, man, a couple of hours. You know, we drove up from Boobligan, met you up in, my brain is so fried. I forgot the base we were at. It's the main base.
Rammstein.
Rammstein.
Which one is it?
Rammstein.
That might be it.
Rammstein.
One of those two.
We are two knuckleheads.
They had me in the children's wing. I remember that. The doc, when I came to, I was kind of one eye in it. And he's like, you know, hey, they were so great.
Yeah.
I must have looked a lot worse than I thought.
You did. You recovered.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You recovered in shit.
Yeah.
Head to toe.
And then so I, like Jessica Lynch, they kept her in that. That's what they would tell me. Like, hey, this is the secure. It's a pediatric. That's where they hid me.
No, you were covered in shit head to toe. Your legs, arms. Like you just.
It was awesome.
You were all cut up.
Freaking good time.
Just nasty.
It did look like an infection.
You were a big infection.
Like one big infection that came back. It was rough, but
right,
it's good stuff. No, we made it.
Yeah, good to talk about sometimes.
Yeah, so that deployment was...
Yeah, so we had to plus up the numbers, and so we went over there, and we really did. We got to work right away, actually, and we were extremely busy. So we worked with Canadians and New Zealand SOF, and we did a ton of, you know, mountain ops. And
going back to where they were?
Yeah, I mean, right after that, you know, we were... It was kind of, it was wild. It was still, mm-hmm. It was still buzzing.
Man,
still
they had hit that nest, right?
Yeah. So we hit it hard.
They call it the hornet's nest. Y'all talking about this, it drives me crazy when I read like newspaper articles and these journalists that try and like discredit everything. And there's one journalist that, I don't know why he gets in my head, but he always writes these articles that like, nothing happened to Marcus and, you know, yes, maybe some guys died, but it wasn't that big of a deal. And that part of Afghanistan isn't hostile. And I'm like, fuck you. This really did. How do you prove that to somebody? But hearing your side and, you know, everybody else's side, it makes me so mad if those people, these like insignificant journalists that want to discredit what he went through and what everybody else went through at that time. I don't know. That's just, it's stuck in my head.
I don't even worry about stuff. I mean, people are going to talk some. It's kind of like that's the best form of flattery.
I know, like reading, but
those, the tabloids.
But I hear, I mean,
the trolls.
Yeah, I mean, they write it like that so people go study it and learn what happened. That's kind of how you look at it. So,
but that time period, there was that was like hitting the hornet's nest.
That was busy. The whole country was busy. You know, there was a lot happening, and it was a lot happening from, you know, obviously a little bit earlier than that. From, you know, I'd say from, you know, 2005-06 to 2010-11, it was just nonstop.
I mean, it was five and ten.
Yeah, it was.
We took heavies.
So, you know, it was like the best and worst times, right? It was the best times, I think, if you're an operator, because that's, you know, it's what we wanted to do, you know. But of course, now there's a lot of scars from that. But also, it was the worst times, right? We lost a lot of friends. But again, I always go back to, like, choose your rate, choose your fate.
That's it.
We signed up for it.
Signed up for it, man.
Yeah, wouldn't take anything back.
Nothing.
So, Amber,
do things differently.
How did you handle that, being a mom of some babies, you know, these two babies, and you hearing information that your husband doesn't even know yet, and it being guys from his team?
The whole time was just so surreal to me because it was, of course, it was just so catastrophic, but it also was that, like I mentioned earlier, just the first time that I thought, oh, this really can happen, and this is terrible. Plus, that was, you know, the helicopter was Marcus's sister platoon, and then the ground element was, he knew, he and Mike Murphy were both from Long Island, so they were pretty...
And a Buds.
Yeah, they were. They went to Buds together. So, you know, we had a lot of friends.
And Axe was 237, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He had a lot of friends that were impacted, and of course, by default, he had a lot of friends of mine, you know, their spouses, who were impacted. So I don't know. It just became, it was kind of, in my mind, it was kind of like, game on, you sons of bitches. I didn't ever feel like you've got to stop, you've got to quit. I was actually so proud of him, his teammates, all of you guys. I was so proud to be part of that community at that time. And I was glad that he was able to do, you know, to deploy and do the work that I knew he wanted to be doing. And I knew, like, God forbid, if I lost him doing that, he would have been doing exactly what he wanted to be doing. So if anything, I think it strengthened my resolve, but it definitely, like, made me grow up overnight. Like, this is not tiddlywinks here. This is, like, for real.
I saw that switch in a couple of things. That's the way it is around here. It's not, no, I don't mind. You know, go out there. He was like, get your ass out there and go to work.
Yeah, revenge. Yeah, like.
Reckoning.
Yeah, so then from there, he went to, I don't want to talk for you. So you can talk about your own.
Oh, shift fire. Way to go, honey. Thank you so much.
When did you rotate out?
When did we rotate out? I don't know. When did you have that party when we came home?
October 2005, and then you went right into Green Team.
October 2005, yeah. Amber threw a big party when we came home just because, you know, they were excited that we came home after after what had happened. And is that where you...
So don't say it.
Is that
we'll
where
tell you
had,
afterwards.
Is that where you had the CEO's wife up in, like, on the keg, in a keg stand at our house in the backyard?
Oh, my gosh.
That was great. I was like an E5 at the time.
Yeah.
I look out, my wife's got, like, literally the CEO's wife up on the keg, like kegs in her mouth, like beer is literally spitting all over her and all over the place. I'm like, oh man, I'm not sure if this is cool or not. Am I going to get in trouble?
A lot of people came to that party because it was just, you know, at that time, the community really started to come together.
Yeah,
I think everyone was kind of living their separate lives. And, you know, we went to like the meetings or the one party, and then it was just suddenly like, okay, this is like a very, very tight unit. This is our family. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I mean, everybody was like, Master Chiefs came over, CO came over. I'm like, this is weird. Like, nobody
was awesome. Don't
do that. But I think it was for that reason. I think people were just wanting to get together. And
it's just like when 9/11 happened, brought the country together.
Yeah.
That was
Yeah.
When tragedy strikes, you all have to stick together.
The longer you're in, because then you know them by one degree of separation. We know everybody in the family.
Right.
And just divided by the coast. So when something like that happens, you know, it just goes, I mean, y'all's network's probably faster than anything come out on the type. Because it just, everyone's in contact, and it's funny how we can find things out pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why what we've been doing, you know, with the vets, which we'll get into, has just organically just, it's everybody, we just take care of one another. Yeah. This whole community just takes care of one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I left 10, went to another place for about 5 years and did five more combat deployments. And then probably towards the end of, I don't know, what,
2008 was a particularly tough year. Every deployment there, yeah, somebody was not coming busy. Home.
I was there.
Yeah, you were there.
I was there.
It was, again, it was a blur. Like, they all mixed together.
Yeah.
Very busy, running really hard. And I guess just towards the end of 2010.
From 2008 to 2010, it was really
tough. I'm just trying to think of like when, you know, just didn't start feeling good.
2008, he lost his best friend, Josh. He flew Josh's body home. And then I feel like from when you came home from that deployment, when you brought Savvy home,
My dog.
He found an Afghan dog and brought it home as a working dog.
We were going to call him Savage, except it was a female, so we had to call him Savvy. Mm-hmm.
Charlie. Charlie's like Savage.
Charlie's like, I'm jealous.
Yeah.
Make myself known here.
Yeah.
From the time you got home from that deployment to the time that you decided to be an instructor and take a break, it was pretty tough. I think Josh's death triggered that.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
to some extent.
Yeah, I mean, I think really when the Gila went down, it's the first time I went like, wait a minute, we can get killed doing this. Like, I thought we just wore body armor, we were fine.
I thought the same.
I literally thought that. I'm like, wait
and
a minute,
y'all are
we can get hurt doing this.
Yeah.
Like, no, we're invincible. Nothing could happen to us. So that's kind of the beginning, and yeah, it was just time to take just a break for me. You know, I envy the guys that are in 20 and 30 years and can keep going. But for me, just something wasn't, you know, right. I was looking for a change. I wasn't happy at the time. I was already seeing a psychologist in 2010. And it was just, it was like, let's go do something different. I went to OCS for about 2.5 minutes, just on the recommendation from the CO. He thought that was a good... and. There was no business for me being there at that time. Literally. I showed up and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? They're teaching me how to fold my underwear again. And
he got home from deployment, like his 7th combat deployment, and turned around and went to OCS like 2 weeks later. That was such a
Where'd
bad
you go?
Idea.
Was it Pensacola?
No, it was Newport. I think it was Newport.
Oh, so Mojo went to
OCS
in Pensacola right before it switched.
Yeah.
You said the same thing.
Yeah, I literally went there, slept the first night, woke up, and I remember I was reading, was it 11 general orders of the century?
Yeah.
Literally reading it.
No, it was 11?
I think it was 11. 12? We're so bad.
Whatever.
Hey, we're not anymore, so we're allowed to forget. I remember sitting on the floor trying to sit Indian style, because you had to sit that way. You couldn't sit against the wall, but I couldn't sit because my back was wrecked. And I couldn't read, like, and I remember taking the book and literally flinging it across the room. And I'm like, this is fucking stupid. I'm like, who's in charge here? I got up. I was like, who's in charge? They're like, huh? I'm like, who's in charge? They're like, oh, Lieutenant so-and-so. So I went over and I'm like, hey, I'm not going to do this. This is stupid. And I think I'm going to go back to my old command because that makes more sense. And everyone was like so confused, you know, like, wait, you can't do that. You can't talk to him that way. Like, you have to raise your hand. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
So I went and talked to the, I guess it was 03 or whatever it was running at the time. I just told him, like, hey, here's my story. Like, just, I'm going to go back to the place I was at. And I just, you know, I need some downtime. Like, yeah, no problem. Now, usually we keep people here for like 13 or 15 weeks, but like, you're good.
Oh,
you can go. You can go tomorrow. I'm like, thank you. So I went back and everyone was like, what happened? I'm like, yeah, it wasn't for me.
So we left. We left Virginia Beach. Yeah, we left. We'd been there for about 10 years. Yeah, and we went to the West Coast, and he was an instructor.
Yeah, I was an instructor for the first phase for about a year and a half. I hated it, honestly. Like, I was just in a bad place. I didn't want to be there.
Is that when Mikey Sowers was an instructor?
Yeah. It was great working with him because he's so talented, that guy. So it's anything that needed to be done, I just asked Mikey.
And was Ray an instructor then?
He was
Mendoza.
Not. Ray Cash?
Mendoza. Oh.
Ray, you know what? I knew Ray. I'm trying to think if...
Because I'm thinking that timeline...
It was right around that time.
2010 is when we met and married. And he took me out there a couple of times. And that's... I remember Ray Mendoza and...
It was a good crew.
Mikey Sowers.
First.
He was... I may have just met him. I definitely was with Mikey Sowers.
And Dave Bloom.
Yeah, we were all in.
And they showed me the cartoons that the students do. Like, they make them do these cartoons, and I thought that was so funny.
They're good. Some of them are good.
It's crazy how many Buzz classes have talented artists.
Oh, no, they're great. Oh, it's unbelievable. Like draw from Disney kind of guys. Yeah. What are you doing in there?
They're so good. You know, all these names you mentioned is great. Dave Bloom is so good to work with. These guys are just
he's
all time.
Amazing dudes.
Oh, my gosh.
But I'll tell you a funny cartoon story. So we get the first class. There you go. The first class. Somebody like right out of college was at OCS when I was there, was in that Buds class. And when I showed up, he's checking in. And I'm like, hey, we'll just call him Joe. I was like, hey, Joe, what's going on? He's like, oh my God, Mark is Chief. I'm like, you can call me Chief Capone now.
Oh my
He was
gosh.
Just checking. It was so funny. We're actually really good friends now. But the funny part is you're talking about the cartoons. So here I am, first phase chief, and not the first phase chief, but a chief, and they make a cartoon, and it's Chief Capone ringing the bell at OCS.
Oh my God!
Do you have that?
They keep them.
Well, I know, but I mean,
they may have it. I wish I did. You know, they didn't pay the man for that at all.
Really?
That is,
oh yes,
that's
they
a
did.
Funny one. That is so funny. So for people that don't know, like the Buzz students draw like a comic or a cartoon about something that's going on in the class at the time, or making fun of one of the instructors or some of the other students or whatever. And when I saw these, I'm like, these should be or something, but it's not. It's
like
totally
a Far Side calendar,
oh,
right?
They're good.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
They're good. You always take the best artists in class that it's really good.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many artists are
going
good. Through
we,
Buds,
we had,
though, really.
We had an incredible...
I wasn't one of those. Because if you're the worst artist, you get to do the pool covers at the first thing in the morning. That's where I was at.
Oh, dude, we had...
The artists had the best, man. They're just like, oh, I gotta go draw the comic. Like, oh, I better be good.
Yeah. 4 hours later.
Four
hours later, everyone's dying, freezing their ass off. Where's the artist? Oh, he's finishing
he's
up his
doing
work.
His thing. Don't mess with him. Because they would like, I mean, because sometimes they would write in verbiage.
Uh-huh.
And it literally was.
I sat there for like the Far Side hour calendar, looking at these comics. And they have them for years. Like, I think it's all of them. Like, they've got.
Yeah, we still have our book. And they're in there. But
I wonder
talk about class morale. Like, pickup.
It's really cool.
It's really
I wonder if there's ever been any classes with just shit artists that draw
stick figures. That would be
no.
Me.
We had
they'll roll somebody back from the previous class.
I can say his name. We had Rich Graham. He was fantastic.
Oh, he's so talented.
Matter of fact, he gave me my first tattoo. Well, my first Bone Frog tattoo. I just said, Rich, just make it as big as you can that you feel comfortable doing. Like you can't screw this
in
up.
In his living room.
But I was like, just do it as big as you can. Because, you know, a lot of guys have like these smaller ones. No. I want the biggest Bone Frog tattoo that
oh
you can
my
make.
Gosh.
Like, if you can cover like, my whole body.
It's literally this big.
It's huge.
Oh, my gosh.
But he did it. And Rich is a great dude. Yeah.
So that's the way it was with Mojo. We were getting the Trident. My brother and I stand together. It makes the burn. And I remember we went in there. It was the only time we were both together. And the guy, we were on the chairs, and we're like, "All right, draw it out." Kind of, we just showed him the picture, like it needs to look like this, but then kind of hide it and all this. And the first one he draws out, the wing was kind of like right here. It just kind of looked like one of those,
it was little,
like a little bitty, like Mama Tried kind of thing. Like,
Mama Tried.
Like, my mom tried and got it done. Right? So Mojo's like, "I want that thing across my back. You know, the wings of the eagle stretch all the way across both he and I's back."
Sure.
And
I just got a flash of like Cal Naughton and Ricky Bobby when you just
like
said that.
Yeah.
Imagine them two, the dude and Walter, you know, because Emoja and I were split right down the middle.
Step brothers.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And call me Dragon. Call me Nighthawk. He drew out the stencil first to make sure we would have to go back and get it. So the whole first part of it was just laying there for that freaking stencil. And we were diving so much. You know, you're supposed to get in the water, especially salt water, after you get near. Yep, yep. So every time we would come out of the water, it'd just be bleeding. My whole body would be black from all that. So we'd have to go back in there, and he'd just go to work. And finally, it took forever, but we got it done.
Is that in Hawaii or San Diego?
Yeah, Hawaii. Mm. Everything else is done by the nobody, right?
Oh, yeah. Marcus has got some
Joey
of that
Nobody.
Too.
Shout out to Joey Nobody, Joey Virginia Nobody. Beach. The best tattoo artist on the planet.
That's what I tell people. Like, hey, in our community, or when I'm walking around, people are like, so who does your ink? And I'll say, nobody. And like, oh, whatever, man. You don't want to tell me his name? I'm like, no.
What's if his you Instagram? Stand close war enough, art?
War paint.
War paint. War paint. Yeah, I was like, this is what it is. War paint.
War paint.
So if you fight hard enough, nobody will show up. he drew all these out. I didn't. He's like, I got your ink. Come get it.
He's awesome. Amber went there before one deployment.
Oh, no, that was a Christmas present. I was always trying to come up with fun gifts when Marcus was on deployment. And so I gave him an idea and he drew it up. And then when Marcus, I framed it and sent it to him. And then when Marcus got back, he went in and got it.
Feeling a little weak right now.
Yeah, it was cool. A little dark.
Do you have a bruise?
Yeah, from
your freaking COVID shot.
My Moderna COVID vaccine last week.
I got the same demon right there.
Jacked me up.
So anyway.
Did nobody do that?
Mm-hmm. Started right there.
Yeah. Well, you know what? When something takes root in the SEAL teams, it's like game on. And
when you're good. And you're a good person.
Yeah, dude, he's
a good person.
Yeah, does nobody exist? Yes, he does. He's a really good dude.
He's real.
He is real.
What kind of name is Nobody? I think it's awesome. Like a Czech or Italian.
Right?
Where's Nobody from? I don't know.
So, I guess where are we at now? On the West Coast? Instructor duty?
Yeah, instructor duty. And then, first phase, it wasn't me. Like, I don't, you know, I'm too nice. Like, I don't like yelling at people. And, you know, I went from like zero to like a thousand. So I would like say nothing, just kind of be safety officer, manage everything. And then
those are the worst.
And then that one thing would just like piss me off and I like would lose my mind. Like I body slammed a student like right in front of the flagpole, like on his back. Well, his name was Harris.
Huh?
Right? And he's probably listening to this now. His name was Harris, you know, and we had lost Josh. And Josh was like my best bro.
And Josh's last name was Harris.
And Josh's last name was Harris. And I was watching this kid Harris and I was completely zoned in on him. And he was, you know, he was slacking. He was like, he was just cheating. And I saw him coming out of the water when everyone's sprinting. He was like, you know, half-assing it. And so I walk over to him, right? And I don't say anything. I just grab this dude, lift him up in the air. This is a student. Body slam him on his back in the sand. Everybody just like stops what they're doing. The instructors are like, what the fuck is he doing? I put my knee on his chest.
All right, guys, we're going to leave you hanging on the edge of your seats because this podcast is just too good. We are going to break it up, give you guys a part two. So make sure you come back next week for the second part of the interview with Marcus and Amber Capone. We are so grateful to have had them. Their story is amazing. Make sure you guys are subscribed to the podcast. You can do that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, really anywhere you get your podcast. That way you can be notified the moment we drop the next episode, which will be next week. Can't wait for you guys to hear it. If you haven't already, guys, follow us on social media, teamneverquit.com/social. You can follow me, Marcus, Morgan, Melanie, all of us, the whole team, see what we've got going on. We've got some brand new hats in the shop. You should check them out. They are really cool. They're leather patch hats. I love them. There's a bunch of new colors. They're going to go fast. Jump on there. And if you want to, head over to patreon.com/teamneverquit. Consider supporting us. We are so grateful for those of you that do. Our Patreon members are who allow us to put out new episodes every single week. And we just couldn't thank you guys enough. We'll see you guys next week for the part two of Marcus and Amber Capone.